Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench, hour two. It's toll-free, 844-843-6879. So the fourth quarter underway. Suns with the pill. Tie game. Sevens across the board, 77-77. Phoenix has to win. It's game six. Bucks up 3-2. If Bucks win, game over. I got to tell you, I really do have to tell you, that's the first shot Kaminsky missed, but I thought he played great in his minutes. He came in, he hit two shots, one of them a flush dunk on the baseline, and he stole the ball from Giannis. He strip stole him, and he just missed a turnaround move in the lane, which was a great move to get open to shoot it, but he shot it off the back of the iron, and the Bucks go down and get a Portis basket, so they lead by two. But I think Kaminsky's played really well in this game, and what's crazy is there he is again under the basket, and scores on Connaughton. I got to tell you, he's played great. That's his. He had one miss. He's made three shots, missed one, and he's played great defense. And I have to tell you, DeAndre Ayton has sucked like you can't even imagine. And I have no reason at all to put him back in a game. He's been so terrible defensively and offensively. And then Kaminsky's gone out there and balled his ass off. The guy's played great. He's fresh. He's played D. He's long. He's a shot alterer. He's got, you know, stretch. He can get the ball. He can deal on Lopez, and he can make things happen. And that's just all there is to it. Tie game at 79. I like what I'm seeing from Kaminsky in this game. It's amazing to me Holiday hits a three. Amazing to me they never used him once. Monty Williams, the entire series, never used him once. He played maybe once for 5 minutes. But he literally has been completely avoided in this series by Monty Williams. I have to say, because Monty Williams' rotations have sucked. That's it. He just doesn't play anybody. He plays, let's just face facts. Look at who he plays in these games every night, and you can look right at it. I'll tell you exactly who he plays. He plays Crowder, Bridges, Ayton, Paul, and Booker are your starting five. And he plays Johnson and Payne. And he barely ever plays Craig or Kaminsky. And another reason, if they lose this series, they're down two again on another Portis shot. The reason they're going to lose is because they've not played defense on Giannis or on Portis the whole game. I mean, they have literally let Portis do whatever he wants. And Portis just did something crazy. I don't know if they teched him up, but he just did something crazy in the game to get everybody on the Suns all riled up. Portis has 14 in the game, 5 of 8, 2 of 4 from 3. He's doing whatever he wants. And Portis has just been unguarded, and they've let him do whatever he wants. And Portis was trying to keep Chris Paul away from the ref, from arguing with the ref, and he put his hands on him. So that's where the Suns had an issue with. And then Portis got the crowd all riled up. You see what he's doing there? He's doing it on purpose to Paul. And you saw that, Mafia. That's nonsense. He's shoving him around, laughing in his face.
That's what he does with every, he tries to get people's heads. It's not just about, he's not out there to score, he's out there to defend and, mess with you and get in your head and get you off your game, whether that's physically or, playing the mind games. He loves to get involved with guys. We saw that with KD when he was, getting involved with him, not just pushing and shoving, but, smack talk he was doing to him. He just wants to mess with guys.
We welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map Radio Network, Sports Byline USA. So later, coming up in a few minutes, in a little bit here, toward the bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Bill Michaels from the syndicated Bill Michaels show in the state of Wisconsin. Obviously, he's watching the Bucks tonight, hoping for their first championship in 50 years. And also keeping an eye on the Aaron Rodgers saga with him turning down allegedly a 2-year deal to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. And then the Brewers lost tonight. I think the Royals beat them. Or today or something. So, anyway, I want to make sure of that, right? Like, I think it was the Royals. It was 5-2. They beat them in Milwaukee. And remember, that was the game that they started early at 3:30 so that the Brewers players, like Yelich, said he wanted to go to the game tonight. All the Brewers are at the Fiserv watching the Bucks trying to clinch the championship. And they're up right now 2. And I think Portis is going to – or I don't even know. They didn't call the foul. They just called it a strip and out of bounds, and it's Bucks ball. I think that's what they did. It's 84-82 Bucks ball in a timeout. So I don't think they called a foul. And then Portis put his hands on Paul, and Paul didn't like that. And then – all of his teammates came to his aid, so we'll see what happens. But we're keeping an eye on this great finish of Game 6. Can the Bucks win it all tonight?
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talking about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Oh my God, the calls they're giving Giannis. I mean, it's just unbelievable. What is this call? That's not even a foul. That's just him wildly, moving his body all over the place to try to get a shovel shot off the glass. I didn't even think Ayton hit him. Honestly. And they'll let Portis mug Booker. I mean, it is unbelievable. And he's just getting one free throw after the next. That's 12 of 13. It's like, that's why they're going to win the game. Because this guy's gotten to the line so many times. And gotten so many calls in this building tonight. It's unbelievable to me. It really is. And at the other end, they got to lose a limb to get a call. You can't even deny it. It's 87-84. And I just, oh my God, it's like he's 14 out of 15 from the line. I mean, he's got 41 points. The guy's going to have 50 points. I mean, they can't stop him. Finally, they got wise. Did I not just call that? So what happened was, Mafia, I told you, why would you take Kaminsky out of the game and put in Ayton, who has been absolutely terrible? Ayton has been a disaster, and he picked up his fifth foul. So that's why they put Kaminsky back in, because he picked up his fifth foul. But I wouldn't have taken Kaminsky out of the game based on the fact that he came in and shot 3 of 4 and had the steal of and then here's Paul missing a technical free throw. You got to be kidding me. This guy can't hit a free throw with that opportunity, standing at the line all by himself. I think they teed up Portis for running down the sideline and mocking the refs. So they had to have teched him up. And then they gave Paul the free throw and he missed it. I mean, you got to be kidding me. This guy, Paul, I'm telling you, all of his misses were crucial. They were all crucial loss bricks. You know, to the loss, they were crucial. Everything he missed, all the shots he missed in the game were bunnies and a free throw with a tech. I mean, you got to be kidding me. This guy has been so bad. I don't care what any, I don't care how many points he has. All of his misses were so bad. And then here's Giannis blocking Booker again for like the 15th time. And then they gave him another call. Oh, my God, the amount of calls. Mafia, I'm going to have a heart attack. Are you watching this, like how many calls he's getting?
I'm seeing it for sure. You know, we've been talking about it all series, all game. You know, game one went the Suns' way with the calls, and Milwaukee complained about that. And ever since, it's been all for Milwaukee. You know, and even at times where the numbers were, you know, somewhat even. I think it was game four. We were talking about that when you and I were on. We're like, yeah, well, the numbers aren't that far off, but we can tell the difference if you watch the game. You saw the difference in the quality and when the foul was called.
Did you see the Booker drive where he blocked the shot that he just reached across and smashed him in the face and got his arm all over his body and blocked the shot? They gave him the clean block, and then they barely touch him, and he goes to the line.
Right.
You can't deny it. And Booker's talking to the ref right now. He's talking to the ref right now like, bro, I mean, honestly, he gets raped and no call. And then they blow on him, and he goes to the line. And now this is, I can't keep track of it, 16 of 17 from the line? I mean, I can't keep track of all the free throws they've given him. It's just, that's 17 of 18 from the line. The guy's got, I mean, it's unbelievable. He's 16 of 17 from the line. Sorry, let me get that right. 16 of 17 from the line, he's got 43 points. And the difference is, for me, is the amount of, the contact that they're getting. They just called Giannis for a foul for the first time all night. He mugs every time he gets his hands and arms all over Booker, all over every – he's fouling the S out of people, but they don't call anything on him. Nothing. They call nothing on him. And then at the other end, you barely touch him, and he goes to the line 17 times. You can't even argue it. I don't care who you're effing rooting for. It is BS. The amount of calls they've given him to shoot free throws, and at the other end, they got none. And let me tell you something. Let's take a look at it. They've shot 22 of 23, and the Suns of 13 of 16. 22 of 23, and he shot 17 of the 23. Finally, Paul hits two free throws. He sucks so bad. I can't even stand watching a guy play anymore. I can't even take it. He missed the technical. I know that. He's 10 of 17. All seven misses have been crucial misses. Now they call another foul on the Suns for touching Giannis. They just touch him and he goes to the line. They can't defend him. I'll give you that much. They can't even defend him.
This guy's 6'10 or 6'2. I mean, come on. Let him play.
But, I mean, honestly, they can't even touch him. They can't even touch him, and they call a foul. And the guy's 7 foot. He's a monster. He's got 43 points. You can't even touch him. Bobby Portis is having the game of his life. They haven't guarded him once the whole night. They have not guarded him once the entire night, and you know it. They have let that guy go crazy. I mean, it is unbelievable. What Portis and Giannis won the game by themselves. Nobody else did anything. Booker hits a tough shot. No, he couldn't get a call. Honestly, if there was no one in the building, he couldn't get a call. I mean, he just got fouled on that, Jay, and got no call. He gets nothing. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's 6:15 left in this game. And then there's another dunk by Giannis. This guy's doing whatever he wants. They can't lose. There's no way they're losing this game. The guy's going to have 50 points easily. And then a turnover by Paul. How bad is he? He just turned the ball over dribbling it. I'm telling you, Mafia, this Chris Paul cost them this series. He's been so awful. I don't care what anybody says. He's so awful. It's not even funny. And remember, they were going to give him the MVP. They were going to give him the MVP. After game one, he was going to win the MVP. Here he is again with big late fourth quarter turnovers, missed free throw on the tech. I mean, 7 bricks in the game from 5 to 10 feet out. He's been awful. Now they call an offensive foul on Booker. I mean, are you watching this? Like, I mean, it's so unbelievable what I'm watching. I almost can't take it. I can't even take it. It's just unbelievable.
Ball had the one game that he absolutely cost him. And I'm not gonna rag him tonight, because even though he has a couple turnovers, Booker has more turnovers. He's missing shots left and right. Even though he's getting bodied, you know, I know we got to give him some credit for that. That he's getting fouled, they're not calling it. Ayton's playing like a little man amongst boys in this series against Giannis. Monty Williams hasn't made any adjustments to try to stop Giannis. This guy's scoring 40 a game. Paul had a bad game, pretty bad game. He's hasn't had a great series, but he's the only thing keeping him in this game tonight.
Connaughton just got an offensive rebound, and they got a clean three from him, and he bricked it. Booker goes to the other end, gets tackled by Middleton, no call. They just let him keep playing. I mean, I don't know what I'm watching here. It's almost as it's like corrupt what I'm watching. The amount of no calls on Booker is corrupt to me. It really is. It's like I'm watching a game that's fixed. I can't believe what I'm watching. Are you sitting here and not seeing the amount of contact this guy's getting and just getting macheted, and he gets no calls? And then when there is a call, it's a charge. And then at the other end, you barely blow on this guy and he's at the free throw line. It's unbelievable to me. It really is. And screw you if you don't like it either. If you're watching this and you don't see that, you suck too. I mean it. I can't even take it. I really can't. Under 5 to go. It's a 4-point game. Bucks up 94-90. And Giannis is just absolutely going off, doing whatever he wants. He's got 45. Portis has 16. Holiday, 12. Middleton, 11. Lopez, 10. And they're on their way to their first championship in 50 years as Pharrell and Avenge.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So it's a 6-point Buck lead, 4 minutes left. They're going to win this game, and they're going to win their first championship in 50 years. Bill Michaels, syndicated Bill Michaels show all over the state of Wisconsin, is watching the end of the game here with us and watching the Bucks take over this game and watching the Suns melt down like an ice cream cone. And it is what it is. Bill, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing great, and I am just checking the homeowner's insurance to make sure that if anybody burns my house down tonight, we're going to be good to go, because this is amazing.
Yeah, this game's over, because this guy's going to have 50 points, and Giannis has been unbelievable, and, you know, he's been unstoppable, and I think they've actually played terrible defense against him, I honestly, and I don't know what's worse. It has to be Portis. The defense against Portis and the defense against Giannis has to be the worst they've played in the whole series. You can't even deny it.
I think tonight a couple of things twofold. They did a really intense job on Middleton and on Drew Holiday, but Drew Holiday wasn't hitting anything. So I don't know why you sag away from Giannis to take over the perimeter. Once Giannis figured out that he's not going to be the outside shooter tonight, that he's got to stay on the inside and quit shooting the threes, they should have just collapsed around him. But then again, there's been 2 or 3 times he's had the wall of 3 guys around him, and he just wasn't going to be denied. He went up and over him or butted him down, whatever he wanted to do. He's playing like a man among boys tonight. And if I would have said that the Bucks needed to win this game with Giannis going 16 of 17 from the line, you would have said, Bill, for sure, you're going to be going back to Phoenix, because there's no way that can happen. But that's exactly what he's done tonight. 47 points, and 16 of those are from the free throw line.
Yeah, they won the game with him at the line tonight because those 16 points were clearly the difference. And I thought, you know, I think people will be misled by Paul's numbers because he has 24 and he's, you know, 10 of 17 from the floor. But I thought his seven misses were all easy, in your sleep, knock down 10 to 12 footers and layups, whatever, all within 15 feet. There wasn't one shot that was long. They were all bunnies, and he missed all of them. Then they got the tech or whatever on Portis. He went in and missed the free throw. You cannot deny that Paul's misses cost them this game. Even though he had 24, all of his misses were so atrocious, and that free throw was so bad. It's like those are costly misses.
I 100% agree. And if you just noticed, Drew Holiday on that last play missed the jumper. Paul gets it on the breakaway, has a wide open three, stepped forward, didn't take it, kicked it back out, turned the ball over. He had a wide open three and didn't take it. His confidence is gone. You're right. This game, for the most part, over. Giannis is going to be the MVP. And this is one of those performances, when you talk about a clinching performance, where do you rank it in the annals of history of somebody that's needed to step up when the rest of his team is going to kind of fade away? I don't even know where I rank this. I don't want to sit here and start calling it the greatest of all time and everybody gets caught up in the moment. But you really got to look at his numbers. Five block shots defensively, igniting the crowd. Twice on block shots did he not only block the shot, he kicked the ball out and then scored at the other end on the exact same play. It's just been a magnificent performance.
Well, he's Bill Michaels with us on the bench, per usual. Always great to have him back on. So your guy, let's face it, rookie of the year, two-time MVP, defensive player of the year, and then maligned for not winning titles the 2 years they lost as the Eastern favorites. They lost, and everybody made fun of them. Then they go out and get Holiday, get rid of Bledsoe, the hack, and then give Holiday this team, and now they're going to win a championship. They're up 8 with 2:40 left, and he's got 49 now. But the fact that he's done all those things and now he's going to be an NBA champion, I think it's pretty clear that he's the best player in the NBA.
100% agree. And when you went through those statistics, if I remember correctly, the only other two guys to ever have that many accolades is Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan. That's it. So when you kind of reel that off and you put that into that rarefied air at his age and for what he does all around for this team and not pairing himself up with the likes of KD or Kyrie or Chris Paul or anybody else for that matter, doing it for the small market of Milwaukee and just saying to the ownership, I'll stay here if you just give me a chance to win. I'll go win it for you. Scott, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you a great story, if we got a second, as the Bucks are going to win this game, and you're right. I was in a restaurant back when he was going to sign his deal, right after last season, and he walked in, and we were sitting there. It's a well-known restaurant in Milwaukee. We're sitting there, and he walked in, and John Horst was there, and a couple of the execs and the VPs and such, and they were just talking, and Giannis walked in, and a couple of the guys with him walked in, some friends. And he went over, was kind of joking, and he said to John Horst, you keep the band together, I'll win you a championship. And John Horst did just that. The only thing he did was pick up Drew Holiday and then traded for P.J. Tucker to bring him in. That was it. Everybody else pretty much stayed the same. And damned if he didn't hold up on his end of the bargain, because they're going to win this championship tonight. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, he is amazing. There's no denying what he's done, and I think even that, I don't deny Tucker's played very physical, confrontational defense, and so has Portis. Those two guys have been huge. Connaughton, for me, has been the sleeper MVP for me because despite tonight having nothing, every single game for five games, he's had that like average, you know, for me, like 14 and 10. Those 10 boards and offensive putback buckets. He had a rebound tonight, an offensive board on the long ball that he caught and then went over and shot the three on the wing and missed it. But he has been the magnet on the glass, and he's been hitting so many huge threes this whole series that tonight he didn't have it. But every other game, Connaughton was a badass.
He said at the beginning of this series, when I had a chance to talk to him, and we all interviewed him, he said that they learned how to win after the last couple of years and what went wrong. And he said, right. And it'll show in this series. And I really believe that. I think sometimes we think just because you're there, you should win. And sometimes you need to learn how to win. Look how many times Jordan kicked at the door of the Pistons and the Cleveland Cavaliers before they finally broke down the door. So it doesn't just happen. So, I mean, I'm not saying we're sitting here looking at any kind of a dynasty, but right. any stretch of the imagination. But I think sometimes you need to learn how to win. The Bucks were the best team in the NBA record-wise over the last two seasons. But they played different basketball from the time in the regular season to the time in the postseason because it goes to a half-court physical game, and they weren't ready for that. Toronto showed them they weren't ready for that a couple of years ago when Nick Nurse said, we're just taking Giannis out and getting everybody else to beat us. We're going to beat you up. And that's what they did. This team has not only gotten better, but they've gotten more physical, and now they know what to expect, and that's the reason, in my opinion, that they're going to win this series. And that's we don't even talk about some of the injuries. Granted, everybody's had injuries, but Giannis going down in the last couple of games against the Hawks, DiVincenzo going down early on, who may have changed the complexity of this series even more with his hands and his quicker defense. There's just been things along the way that have been very – very small nuances, but that also the Bucks have overcome and kind of learned from.
They haven't actually, for me, the reality is they were the best team in the NBA the last 3 years. I said that yesterday on the TV show, and people disagreed with me. And I said, well, they had the best record. They were favored to win it all 3 years. And everybody did just, you know, ESPN and everybody falls in love with the Lakers. You know, the Lakers are always favored to win everything, but I never thought so. I thought the Bucks were, you know, the best team in the East for sure. And they were, you know, the top seed in the East. They had the best record in the league. And then they went and failed in the playoffs back-to-back years and everybody made fun of them. The reality is they've actually been building this, whatever you want to call it, dynasty or whatever, trying to build a dynasty, trying to build the best team in the league for several years now. But this project goes all the way back to the day they drafted the kid Giannis. And now, for me, the piece of Holiday and, frankly, Portis and Tucker, even though, you know, those, you know, Portis, if he's lucky, he'll have 9 a night or something. And Tucker doesn't score basically ever, but he's a defender. So I think they've actually built this team to be a dominant dynasty type team for 3-4 years now. Respectfully, I got 40 seconds. We'll break and then we'll come back and watch them win this championship. What do you think of that?
No, that's perfect. I believe that they're on the cusp of something great, maybe a tweak here or there to get a little bit better. But the one thing that Giannis and Middleton both like, don't change the chemistry. They like Bud. I really believe that Budenholzer this season was using as experimentally to make sure that he kind of got rotations and different things and switches and stuff down that he didn't do in the past. I think this regular season was nothing more than a mad scientist in the lab getting ready for the postseason.
There you go. So they're at Middleton's on the line. They're up 103-96. He's ice from the line. He's going to make both. And it's 104-96. They're up 8 with 44 seconds left. It really boils down to, will they cover the 5? It's Pharrell on a bench.
To listen to Sports Grid,
you can always go out in the woods, find a rabbit, take his foot,
and rub it.
Or you can get the winning edge
right here, and you won't get any blood on you.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so Giannis just hit 50 points at the line, so 50 points in a game, and he's 17 of 18 from the line, and they're up 7 with 9 seconds left. It's over. They've won, and it really boils down to if he makes the free throw, they go up 8, and will the Suns go down and hit a 3 and push the bet? Because it was 5. So there you go. They're up 8, and now there's a final timeout call, and it boils down to, for bettors, will they cover the five or will they push? We're talking to Bill Michaels of the Bill Michaels Show across the great state of Wisconsin. They're about to win their first title in 50 years. And Giannis had 50 on the number. I said it all night. When he had 30, I said he was going to have 50. I thought they played terrible defense against him, to be honest with you. And I have to say this, just to be honest with you, Bill. I thought that the refs absolutely screwed Devin Booker tonight. I thought he got macheted and mauled all night long by the Bucks and got no calls whatsoever. On the Giannis swat of him, that he reached across his body, clotheslined him, his entire arm had sex with his whole body, and then he blocked the shot, and then they blow on him, and he goes to the line 18 times. The refs screwed Booker all night long. He got mauled. The Tucker steal was a clear foul. He slapped his hand. His entire hand covered his hand, not the ball. He smacked down on his hand. Scott Foster sucks. He's a terrible ref, and that's all there is effing to it.
I agree with that side of it. And I know this sounds like a homerism, but I can't tell you how many times tonight I thought there would have been an and one with Giannis going to the line additionally tonight. Or there was a couple of times Middleton put the ball up. It was like they picked and choose when they were going to allow someone to get their brains beat out. And I didn't understand the officiating. It was so inconsistently consistent, it was crap. So I completely agree with you. As we watch the confetti fall, and it's a final, and it's 105-98, it's a seven-point win, it's interesting, Pharrell, as I sit here, because it was only a few years ago I was, you know, on the network, and I was bringing in state senators, I was bringing in our governor, I was bringing in representatives, older people from Milwaukee, because the Bucks were selling to the Lazarus Eden Group, and one of the stipulations was if they couldn't get an arena built, they were going to move the team, and there was a real possibility this team was going to go to Seattle. And there was many people in the state that thought it was going to leave. And we kind of went on the offensive to say, hey, we understand that public money is public money and nobody likes to spend it. But it's not a matter of if you spend it versus will the owner spend it. It's which city will spend more to bring your team there. And we put a real spearhead on to kind of prove what the Bucks mean to this area, because the Bucks were only a Milwaukee team. They weren't a statewide team. And I think a lot of eyes were opened, and it didn't pass, you know, easily, but it passed. And then you see what we have in the Deer District. You see what we have in the Fiserv Forum. You see that it's a gem of the city of Milwaukee downtown now, and it's what everybody thrives and survives around. And now, only a few years past that, the opening of the Fiserv Forum, the Bucks are NBA champions. I couldn't have imagined this in my wildest dreams, but what we're seeing tonight, at least in this city, is a palpable energy of it's all come true, and Wisconsinites have become so accustomed to being let down. Kind of the nut kick has always happened. You know, you saw the Badgers go to the Final Four, and then they go to the title game, and they get beat. The Buccaneers beat the Packers last year. Before that, it was San Francisco, and the Brewers get beat in the NLCS a couple of times. It was just never going to happen. And finally, the Bucks broke through after 50 years. It's just an amazing night.
Yeah, it is. I was a little astounded by watching him, Giannis, celebrate with all of his family, and then sit on a chair and start crying with a towel over his face. And then finally, I mean, he still hasn't even celebrated with his teammates yet. I guess that's going to happen in the room or something, because I don't ever remember seeing a team win a championship and they don't, like, the players aren't celebrating with one another. They're all off doing their own thing. And Giannis went over to his family. Like, here's Tucker with his daughter. Like, I've never seen a team not celebrate with one another when they win. Like, you always see the first thing is the team, you know, hugging and jumping on one another and freaking out and high-fiving and hugging and laughing and hugging their coach and smiling. They waited 7 minutes to do that. I was stunned what I saw. Like, they all went off to their own people and celebrated, and they now they're just coming together as players and celebrating like 6-7 minutes later. Is that not crazy?
It is. I mean, during the break, when they went to the huddle, they were high-fiving and kind of doing the, you know, the jumping chest bump and stuff, and you see Chris Middleton and Budenholzer and Giannis together there. It is. Not to see them celebrate in kind of a mob on the floor. We've become so accustomed to that. But I agree. It's just a little bit – I think it's surreal. I think it's just one of these things that championships are so few and far between in the city of Milwaukee, you kind of don't know how to act at times because we haven't seen it, and much less one that's been won on Wisconsin soil. You know, think about that. The last time I think there was one here, I think it was the Milwaukee Braves were the last team to win on Wisconsin soil, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, who knows, but because the Packers certainly didn't win one. The last team that's won a championship was the Wisconsin Badger hockey team. They won the Frozen Four at the old Bradley right. Center in Milwaukee. But, you know, it's interesting when you see Budenholzer and Middleton come. When they let go of Jason Kidd, there was a lot of consternation in this area that Giannis and Kidd were really close and Giannis would want to leave. And then what Lazarie and Edens did, the owners of this team, they called Giannis and they called Chris Middleton. And they asked those two guys to go sit down with a prospective head coach. And that was Mike Budenholzer. So they bring Budenholzer in and they have those two guys sit down with him. And it was a brilliant move because with all the arguments of Budenholzer and not making adjustments and he could or couldn't be fired, it was Middleton and Giannis that stepped up and said, hey, wait a minute. We're the ones that said we wanted this guy as our coach. We take ownership of this. And they did. This offseason, this is what these guys talked about was, hey, it's not the coach's fault. We're the ones that said he's good for us. So if you're going to put the blame on any, put it on us. And they made a concerted effort this year to work together on all these different things and not worry about the best record in the NBA, but just get prepared for the postseason. So to see those three guys come together in that embrace just before the presentation of the Larry O'Brien Trophy is almost surreal from where they were in that restaurant in Milwaukee a few years ago to where they are now.
How about when they were saying Budenholzer was going to get fired all year if he didn't win a title? Well, now he's not getting fired for a long time.
No, he's not going anywhere. I mean, first of all, you get to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1974. You're not going to get fired, in my opinion. And now to win a championship, you know, it's interesting because I was talking about this earlier. When I first got to Wisconsin, it was 1999. George Karl had bust onto the scene. The lockout ended, and George Karl took that team to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Philadelphia 76ers. And every time during those 2 years, during that run, when George Karl would enter the arena, it erupted. I've never seen anything like it for a head coach to get that kind of an ovation. This was almost like Bobby Knight after the championship walking in to Assembly Hall. It was bizarre. And now Budenholzer winning a championship, the first coach to do it in this state and since Moses was a baby, it's just amazing. He can write his own ticket anywhere and everywhere, and I think he's going to be here for at least the next 5 to maybe 7 years. I would assume he's going to get a contract extension, and they're going to be relevant for a long period of time too.
So how many people do you think that are out in that deer district are going to get Delta variant? I mean, there's 70,000 people out there having sex.
You know what? I heard that after 10 o'clock at night, the Delta variant doesn't come out. And I also heard that it doesn't come out if you have alcohol. So
yeah,
I
keep telling yourself that.
Two people down there. Yeah, I know, right?
Keep telling. I have never seen anything like that crowd. That is the greatest party crowd I've ever seen at NBA finals ever.
They actually expanded that district tonight to fit in an extra 45,000. They have an estimated – a friend of mine has a restaurant right down the street. He said they came into his restaurant to ask him to close the doors just to keep everybody out because it's getting so large. And they had said that they're estimated 75,000 people outside the arena, an additional 20,000 inside the arena. You don't get that many people for a Packers game. 90,000 people crowded around the Fiserv Forum in downtown Milwaukee.
I saw, like, the only thing that could compare to it, but it wasn't for the games, it was for the celebration, was Grant Park in Chicago with all those Bulls titles. The scene at Grant Park was crazy for all the Bulls titles, but this thing was the craziest thing I've ever seen for a live crowd at the arena, at the game. No one will ever touch that Deer District. All right, congratulations to the Bucks. An incredible championship. They did it. One last question for you. I've got 90 seconds. What is the deal with Aaron Rodgers turning down that deal? Is it true?
I heard it was. I heard what happened was originally that they had offered him only a year additionally, and he said basically, go away, I'm done with you. And then when they came back and made an additional offer, by then they had pissed him off so bad that he said, look, I'm done. I'm going away. I'll talk to you later. So there's a lot of tentacles to this, and it's something that you and I are going to get into at a later date for sure. But as of right now, I don't see him walking in the first day of training camp.
So the Brewers today threw the game against the Royals so they could go to the game tonight and get drunk. That's pretty obvious, right?
God. I mean, Craig Counsell even said that he was trying to get tickets and wanted to sit with him. I mean, half the team's there. I mean, they showed him on the screen tonight. Half the team's down there. So I wouldn't expect the Brewers to play too well tomorrow either.
go to the window on the Royals. All right, Billy, I love you. Thanks for coming on and enjoying the Bucks championship. For the first time in 50 years, you spent it with us on the bench. We appreciate you. That's pretty cool.
This is fantastic, Scotty. Anytime, my friend.
I love you. Bill Michaels at the Bill Michaels Show across the state of Wisconsin. Great stuff. All right. Budenholzer's talking right now on the mic. They're going to get hammered tonight in Brewtown. I mean, they are going to go off. There's going to be babies made. I mean, everybody and their brother is partying. They've started partying now. I mean, this party's going to go all the way through, I would think, probably – I mean, till the weekend. I mean, this is looking like that crowd outside there, 75,000 people. That's insane. That's a petri dish. So don't think for one minute that's not some COVID harbinger. That is absolutely a nest for disease. Those 75,000 people making out and partying and sweating and coughing and sneezing. Are you kidding me? That is the last place on earth I'd want to be right now, even though everyone in the state of Milwaukee wants to be there. They're all there. It's Pharrell and events. We still got Time Mafia. I can't even hear you anymore. It's so rowdy. So anyway, they're having the celebration. Giannis is going to win the MVP. They're going to hand him that trophy, and they're going to give him the Davey O'Brien. They've already talked to the owner, Lazary, and they've talked to Budenholzer. Your boy Giannis, 50 points tonight to ice the MVP and win the championship. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, so the Bucks win and they cover and the finals are over and Giannis is the MVP at 50 points. The guy went crazy. Middleton averaged 24 points a game in the finals for the Bucks, and they win for the first time in 50 years in Milwaukee a championship since, back in the day. Pirates lead the Diamondbacks 5-3, bottom seven in Arizona. The Giants are kicking the Dodgers' ass again, 6-2, bottom five at Chavez Ravine. Cubs lead the Cardinals 7-6, bottom nine, two outs at Busch. And the Mariners are up 6-4 on the Rockies, bottom nine. Rockies have a runner at second, two outs. Yankees beat the Phillies 6-4. A's today 6-0 over the Angels. By the way, the A's passed the stadium vote today. They got the votes they needed to build the new stadium on the water. They're allegedly going to do it now and stay in Oakland. I'll believe it when I see it. Royals beat the Brewers 5-2 so they could go to the Bucks game tonight. Nationals 6-3 over the Marlins. Rays 9-3 over the Orioles. Reds 4-3 over the Mets. Tigers 4-1 over the Rangers. Braves 2-1 over the Padres. Astros 9-3 over the Indians. And the Mariners just checked in 6-4 over the Rockies, and the White Sox 9-5 over the Twins, if I didn't mention that. Bottom line is, the Bucks got it done. What a difference losing those two trips to the playoffs, and they didn't have Holiday. Holiday was a huge piece on this team. Budenholzer, much maligned, now a champion, done a hell of a job in Milwaukee. Giannis, unstoppable. Scott Foster's a crappy ref. He did a horrible job with his two partners tonight, letting Booker get macheted. But it doesn't matter. Suns got swept in four straight. Good night. See you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.